Hope everyone has is ready. Let's just stand as we just turn to 1 John chapter 4. Okay, 1 John chapter 4. Okay, 1 John chapter 4. Let's stand as we read verse 10 and 11. We are in the month of brotherly love. First John chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, let's read it together so that we can okay, ready? First John chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, ready? 1, 2, begin. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we look to heaven today. We look to You. Because, Lord, You're such a wonderful God. And Father, today we just want to remember what You have done for us. In love. As we understand, Father, the three D's of love, we pray that today, God, anything that is lacking in the way we love, help us, Lord, to improve ourselves. By Your Holy Spirit helping us, by Your Word guiding us, and by Your grace strengthening us. Father, I pray for one person here who may not have a full, proper understanding of Your love. I pray today, Lord, they will come to a place of complete understanding. Lord, that can only be possible if Thy Holy Spirit take charge of this session. We pray that as Thy servant preaches Thy Word, You will take the Word of God, apply it to our hearts, that, Lord, we will move out of this place, knowing, Father, what You have taught us. And Lord, we'll thank You for what You're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please be seated. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, we've just read, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The Bible says in 1 John 4 and... Sorry, I've lost my place. Alright, the Bible tells us that God is love. Alright, we know that very plainly in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he that loveth not God knoweth not God, for God is love. The Bible makes it very clear that God is love. And I think we all know that God loves us. Amen? Amen. Amen. God loves us so much that He would die on the cross for our sins. But the question is how? What I want to do today is actually just go into how did God love us? What are the mechanics? Or rather, in the Bible, it's pretty clear how God loved us. But I want to highlight to us, and perhaps for many of us, this is not new. But I'm praying that God will help us to understand this. Then I will make one application based on how God loved us. Okay? The question is how God loved us. Number one, very quickly, already straight into your notes. God loved us despite not being loved. God loved us despite Him not being loved. The Bible says, 1 John 4:10, herein is love. This is love. This is the manifestation of love. This is the substance of love. This is what love is. Not that we love God. The first point is, God loved us despite not being loved. God loved us despite us not being loved. Many of the verses I will turn to is probably not there in your list. But in those, you just try to follow along. John chapter 1 and verse 10. Okay, John chapter 1. And verse 10, the Bible makes it clear. The Bible says that He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. The word received there means welcome. In other words, when Jesus Christ came to the Jewish people, they did not receive Him. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, His name shall be called Jesus because He will save His people from their sins. If you read it in the context, the Lord Jesus Christ is a Jewish Messiah. The Bible says He's come to save His people from their sin. Alright? Now, because the Jews rejected Christ, actually God already knew that. In foreknowledge, God knew, so He prepared the plan of salvation to extend even to the Gentiles. Amen? And for us, how many of you have Jewish blood in your... How many of you here have Jewish blood? No, we are all Gentiles. And God loved us also. Did you know that? You know that God included us all the way in the plan of salvation, Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 12. Remember when He told Abraham, "In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Through Abraham came the Jewish Messiah and then brought the plan of salvation to all the whole world. Those of you who will go for the youth camp, I will be showing God's plan for the ages. How did you, do you realize that only in the Bible you understand the happenings of this world? And through that, you can understand what God wants to do next, okay? So, in Matthew 1:21, just now we look at it already, Jesus is a Jewish Messiah. But you know, when Jesus came to the Jews didn't welcome Him. The Jews did not welcome Him. Now, there are certain groups of people who rejected Christ. Let's look at Matthew 23, alright? You'll be turning to some passages of Scripture. Matthew 23. Jesus was rejected by the Pharisees. Matthew 23 verse 13. Alright, He rebuked him. Matthew 23 verse 13, the Bible says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye that are entering to go in." Now some people may say, "Oh, Brother Johnny, that's very harsh of Jesus to rebuke." You know, Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites. Was Jesus being unkind? You know what we've been learning in our Sunday school? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Do you realize when Jesus Christ actually used the word scolded very much or rebuked the Pharisees, He was trying to wake them up. They were very self-righteous and they thought that they were going to heaven because they were the religious leaders. But you know, despite being rejected by the Pharisees, notice in, if you look down to Matthew 23 and verse 37, notice the heart of Jesus Christ. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings." You know what? As much as Jesus would scold the Pharisees and He looked at the entire Jerusalem, "I came to you and you rejected me." And Jesus says in verse 37, "Look, how often have I wanted to gather you as a hen gather the chicks." But you know what the problem was? Ye would not. But to bring up this, Jesus was rejected by the Pharisees, but still loved by Jesus. Amen? Even though the Pharisees rejected Jesus Christ, when Jesus died on the cross, He died for every Pharisee. Then, Jesus was also rejected by the Samaritans. Let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 52. Luke 9, 52. The Bible says, "And He sent messengers before His face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for Him." Now, Samaritans were a group of half-Jews. Alright? Half-Jews were oftentimes rejected by the Jews themselves. "You need to be pure Jew." Okay? I'm a pure Hainanese. My father is a Hainanese. My mom is a Hainanese. We are pure Hainanese. Alright? And so, after that, Jairo and the rest of them are impure. No such thing, alright? Today, we don't talk about that. But you know, during that time, the cultural thinking was very strong. You must be a Jew, otherwise you are a barbarian. They call you dogs. And so, when Jesus went into the Samaritan village to be made ready for, in verse 53, the Samaritans did not receive Him, did not welcome Him. Because His face was as though He would go to Jerusalem. That phrase means Jesus had the Jewish appearance. That's why when they came in, they knew immediately He's a Jew. Okay, and so that's why they didn't receive. Kind of like, I think the Filipinos, I always ask Brother Robert, I learned a lot from him. When this lady or this man walked past, I said, "Is he a Filipino or a Jew?" Then Brother Robert said, "Filipino." It takes one to know one, you know. And you know, when you look at the people's appearance, you know, can know that whether he's a Jew or a Gentile. But you know, even though he was rejected by the Samaritans, notice in Luke chapter 9 verse 56, in the same context, Jesus said, "The Son of Man is not come to destroy man's life." All the disciples wanted to wipe out Samaria at that time. "God, would thou ask us to call fire down from heaven and destroy them?" You know what Jesus says? No. You don't know what kind of manner of spirit you have. Listen, Christians, when you see people in sin, when you see people doing something that is wrong, and you want that guy, God will judge that person. You know what Jesus will tell you? You don't know what kind of spirit you have. Can I say this? I've learned this, and I hope you learn it from the Bible. When someone does wrong, he's condemned already, as far as God is concerned. You know what our job is as Christian ministers? By God's grace, bring them back. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Look, you don't know what kind of spirit you have. We're not here to condemn each other. We're all condemned anyway. But you know what? The Son of Man is come not to destroy man's life, but to save them. Notice the love of Jesus even for the Samaritans. But you know what? We get a bit more personal. Look at Luke 22:48. Luke 22:48. What Jesus told Judas Iscariot. We all know Judas Iscariot was a big betrayer. Betrayed Christ. Jesus said unto Judas, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Is this how you betray me, Judas? You who ate with me? The Bible says in prophecy in the Old Testament, he that has sat with me have lifted up his heel against me. My own friend has betrayed me. You know what Jesus actually told Judas? Look, is this how you betray the Son of Man? Do you realize one thing? How many of you think that Jesus still loved Judas? Look at Matthew 27. Let's turn there. Matthew 27. Well, I know there's a little bit of Bible knowledge. I think that for you. Matthew 27 and verse 3. I want us to think that even after Jesus Christ was crucified, God was still working. Okay? Sorry, as Jesus was being put to death, God brought conviction into Judas' heart. Look at verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. Judas Iscariot had the last chance to be saved here. Even after Jesus Christ was betrayed by his own friend, he was convicted of his sin, right? That's what we call the calling grace of God. God actually invites us. God actually invites us. God actually invites sinners to come. But whether or not we will respond to that is a different thing. Okay? Judas Iscariot here, if I understand God's heart right, God was giving him a last chance. Of course, his repentance was the worldly sort. Unfortunately, you know why? I know, you know, after I bring you another man whose repentance is of the godly sort. But you know, Judas Iscariot, his repentance is of the worldly sort. You know what it means? Meaning that when I'm sorry for my sin, I'm sorry because I'm caught. I'm sorry because someone caught me. Oh, I'm sorry. I should have done that, paiseh, you know. And so, he's caught. But you know what he did? He didn't go to God. You know, where he went? He went to the Pharisees. Wrong choice. Okay? But you know what? Question, did Jesus still love Judas? Do you realize Jesus died for Judas on the cross? Let's turn to Luke 22. One more person. Luke 22. And verse 54. Let me just read that. Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they kindled a fire in the midst of hall and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Verse 56, a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with Jesus. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Verse 58, and after a little while another man saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he spake, the cock crew. The Lord Jesus have already prophesied to a proud Peter that unless you the cock will not crow twice unless you deny me 3 times. Oh, that was a blow to Peter. But you know what happened immediately after? The Bible says 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Can I say this, Christians? This is an aside. When we don't serve God now and are not faithful to Him, one look of your Savior at the judgment seat is enough to convict us of our unfaithfulness on earth. One look. All Jesus had to do was to look at Peter. And the Bible says Peter went out and wept. He didn't just wait, he wept bitterly. With a broken heart. It's easy to be betrayed by enemies, right? How do you find betraying by friends? Jesus. You know who was a bigger betrayer, Judas or Peter? If you look at the context, to be betrayed by an enemy is bad. To be betrayed by your friend who say, I'll die for you. How would you feel? It's even worse. But I want you to notice what Jesus did. In John chapter 21, let's turn there. John chapter 21. John chapter 21 and verse 15. I'll just read. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And Simon son of Jonas, he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto thee, Feed my lambs. The Lord Jesus not only loved Peter, He restored him. But the Lord Jesus also gave him a great ministry. All after Peter denied Christ. Can I say this? If you in your life right now are denying Christ or being unfaithful to Him in some area, and the Lord has been convicting us, doing what is right, and uses, but you know, Jesus still loves you. Because Jesus wasn't looking at the sin. He was looking at the potential. Now, I'm not condoning sin. I think we know that. Sin is sin. But you know what? How much Jesus looked at? Look, Peter has a... God, I have a plan for Peter. And in this plan, yeah, he will fall, but I know I'm going to make him great. Can I say greatness is... Our greatness is given by God. But you know, we will fall along the way. But can I say, as you fall, Jesus loves you still. And one more person, John chapter 20. Listen to John chapter 20. Thomas, verse 24. Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus. Interestingly, in the Greek, Didymus means die. Die means what? Double. Mus, as it comes from the idea of musing, idea of thinking. Thomas was double-minded. Okay, so he was called the Doubting Thomas. Okay? And so his whole name talks about that. And Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Bad choice. You need to be with God's people in the church when God is here. Alright? And Thomas wasn't there. And that's why people begin to doubt. Look at verse 25. But the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto him, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and trust my hand in his side, I will not believe. Thomas doubted Christ. But you know one thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, if you doubt Him, Jesus comes and deals with you personally. Did you know that? In the Bible, it's so consistent. When Peter denied Jesus, Jesus came to deal with Peter. Call him by name. Peter, do you love me? And now, Thomas doubted Christ. And Jesus in love said to Thomas, look at verse 27, Then saith he to Thomas, Reach thither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand, and trust in my side. Be not faithful, but believing. Let me just apply this. Have you at any time in your life feel that God didn't love you? Or maybe you were doing something, or the trend of your life seems to be a different direction. And you find that, oh, now I'm a Christian, but you know, I'm sure God won't love me as much. I've got news for you. God says Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. If God doesn't change, it means what? His love doesn't change, amen. You can do anything on the face of planet earth. If you are His child, His love for you does not change, because He loved despite us not being loved. Not that we love God. You know, man, we as Christians sometimes we just walk away from God, we do what we want, we think what we want, and we just live the way we want. It doesn't change God's love one bit. Amen? Amen. God, whatever you do, man, oftentimes, even as Christians, we will love the things of the world more than things of God. Even though we do that, Even like Peter, we may deny him. Even as friends, maybe with our friends, friends will tell a dirty joke about Christ and then we will laugh with him. You know, even in that, Jesus doesn't change his love for you. But you know what? He wants us to change. Number one, the first D is, Jesus loves us despite not being loved. Number two, looking back at 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. Jesus loves us. Okay? God decides to love. The word is deciding. The word is decide. God decided to love us. It was His willing nature to love. Right? I'm going to explain certain things here. You need to really get this. The word agape in the Bible is never found in Greek literature. Okay? The reason is because in Greek there are two words with regards to love. Philia, which is friendship love, and eros, which is the physical love between husband and wife. Okay? In Greek literature, philia and eros are the Greek words that has been used consistently in their writings. Now, these two types of love, this is very important. These two types of love require reciprocation. That simply means, when I do something for someone, that philia or that eros is maintained, the love is maintained, when I do something for you, you do something back to me. Does that make sense? Because it's a mutual love. Okay? We need to understand this. That means if I give, I will need something back to maintain that friendship. That's filial. Some of us may have football friends or basketball friends, and the reason why we get together is because of basketball. But if the basketball is gone, the friendship, you probably won't see one another again. Alright, or you maybe go for coffee and just remember. And the next, remember 16 years ago we played basketball? Come on, let's have a game. And of course, you only have a 5-minute game because you're all out of shape. But you know, it's still basketball that brings you together. That's filial. So that kind of friendship is maintained by common interests. Eros, I think, is what the world uses. Many times relationships are sustained by no more than the immorality and the filth of this world. Eros has to do with that. But you realize agape only came into human existence when God gave us the Bible. Because agape is only capable by God. It is unconditional love. A genuine agape love is sustained. Listen to this. This is very important. Genuine agape love is sustained by nothing but the person doing the loving. In other words, that person decides to love. The person has decided in his heart to love. The Bible teaches God is love. It doesn't mean God love. God's nature is love, and therefore, the only thing He can do is to naturally love. Alright? And that is His nature. Because let's put it this way, why should God love us? Can anyone think of a good reason God should love God should love us? Can anyone think of a reason why God should love us? Think of any reason. Can anyone think of any reason God should love us? Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, right? Well, there are many people who say, well, I'm not so bad. Well, God should let me into heaven. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I have this underlined in my Bible many, many, many years ago to remind myself. Look at verse 7. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. Let's read verse 7 until verse 8, the first sentence, alright? Ready? Deuteronomy 7, verse 7 and 8. Ready? 1, 2, go. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. Okay, stop there. Okay, let's stop there. I know there's a second reason why God loved the children of Israel, because He will keep the oath to them. But you know what? The first reason was because I loved you. I was Many years ago, I was doing a course on evangelism. I was actually giving, I was just studying in 1 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says, who will all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth? Okay, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Now, when I studied that, I realized one thing. When God said he will all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth, there was no reason why. There was no reason given in the Greek tenses why. There was no responsive tense, there was no reflexive tense as to why God love. It's just that God will that we be saved. In other words, God love because he chose to love. Just as parents choose to love their children regardless of what results they have, regardless of who they are, regardless of... I think you've seen pictures before or maybe documentaries before of how parents may have given birth to someone, a child who may be physically handicapped, for example, cannot care for himself. And I think there was one, I think 1 or 2 years ago, there was this sister who gave up social life, gave up her studies even, to take care of another sister who was handicapped. How many of you remember that story? Some of you may remember the story. You give up everything just for that. You know, she studied plus, and the younger sister, about 22, but the younger sister, I think, has polio or something. This sister will be responsible for bringing the sister to school and feed her, dress her, getting her ready. And you know what? The elder sister who did all this was commended, of course, in Straits Times. But you know what? The elder sister didn't get an education. Her social life wasn't... She didn't have a social life. But you know what? The interesting thing is that this particular sister who had the physical problems could feel that love. It was just a practical way of doing things. Because she loved because he chose to love. You know, it could be that this person say, forget it, you cannot expect me to do this day in, day out for 24 hours for the whole year, you know. You know why? Let's turn to 2 Peter. And if you get nothing, please get this particular principle. God taught me this week, this principle. And I hope that as I was studying it, alright, not like some verbal, audible voice, but in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Peter 1 verse 5, the Bible says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, then charity. These are definite steps for spiritual growth. And I'm going to go through them so that you know whether you are growing spiritually. Number one, when you have become a Christian, God says you are to give all diligence, verse 5. Add to your faith what? Virtue. The word virtue has to do with obedience, character. Okay, that's why the very first step of obedience to the Lord is baptism. And after you have followed the Lord, and you want to do more, you find that, hey, I don't know what to do. So what do you need to do? Next is to add to your virtue, knowledge. You need to know more about God. And that's why people get excited about Bible study, because, oh, this is what God wants me to do. And you begin to learn more and more, and you do more. And then as the more you do, you realize one thing, as you begin to serve God, how many of you have discovered this before? When you serve God, there's always this thing called obstacles. Problems that will come up. Which will then help you to develop what? Temperance. The word temperance has to do with self-control. You want to do this, but God's word tells you something else, like, okay, last time I used to be very free with it, but God's word, okay, I need to develop a bit of self-temperance. And then I grow there in temperance. And then to temperance, once you're able to control yourself, the devil therefore cannot attack you from inside anymore. You know what he does? He then attacks you with situations outside. Your family, you get a sickness, someone, you get overwhelmed. And then the Bible says you develop patience. What does it mean by patience? Developing patience means you have self-control. Or rather, you're able to endure under circumstances in which you have no control over. You realize one thing, you cannot get to patience without first developing temperance. Unless you are ready to obey God, you can't have patience. You get very impatient. Why? Because if you cannot control yourself inside, you won't be able to control the situation outside. you'll be even more impatient. Does that make sense? So after the patience comes in, after patience, you begin to understand, control, and you, because your spirit is calm, you're able to focus more on God. And you develop what? Godliness. Okay? Now, it's interesting, therefore, I got this when I woke up. It's interesting, okay? I just tell you something that happens to me. Every time I wake up in the morning, something strikes me about certain Bible passages. Maybe it could be during the day I may thought, but I couldn't get. But it's just when I sleep, I wake up, oh yeah, yeah, quickly run out. And then sometimes my wife, hey, then she sees the computer on. Because the moment I get out, it's always these things coming. Have you ever wondered why brotherly kindness and charity is the last? God taught me this as I was meditating on this. Because after you have developed godliness, you would have things like knowledge, temperance, patience, self-control, godliness. When God has taken the control of you, then you are able to love your brother in the way God tells us to love. The word brotherly love is filial. Maintained by mutual friendship in the church. Do you realize friendships in the church ought to be the strongest friends? You ought to have the strongest friends in the local church. You make it your goal. By God's grace, God show me a friend I can have in the church that I can grow up with. Some of you have already found that. It may some of it is because of common interest like soccer, you know, kind of just gravitate towards each other. But you know what? Your church friends ought to be strongest. And so, but brotherly kindness is not the top that God wants us to attain towards. The Lord Jesus Christ helps this by giving a commandment. What's the commandment? A new commandment I give unto you. That ye love what? One another. As I have loved you. Brotherly love is sustained by mutual friendships. But listen carefully. If we have problems even loving our brothers, we will never get to charity, because charity can only be sustained by the person doing it without reciprocation. Genuine love will only come for the lost only when we have reached this. That God will teach us, when we share the gospel to a non-believer, we are not going to be reciprocated on that. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He loved this world, was rejected. That's charity. But unless we are willing to love one another in the local church, maybe that's why we don't have a strong love for the lost outside. Because why? God so loved the world that He gave His Son. And that love, many times, is not reciprocated. Right? Do you understand what is reciprocation? Meaning that I do something for you, you will do something nice back to me. In other words, when Jesus Christ died for the world, you would think that the world will respond to Him, right? Does the world respond to Him? When you share the gospel, when you share the love, you mean your Jesus loves me so much? Can I want to be a Christian. Do they do that? They'll kick you out of the church. They'll kick you out. They say, don't waste time. In fact, the moment you mention Jesus, they will smile and they close the door. Trying to be polite, but they get lost. You know? When we are able to clearly have brotherly love, a love that is sustained by mutual loving one another, it is very hard for us then to surrender to the mission field, where you will go to a place that you will have no reciprocation. The only reason why you are there is because you love them with God's love. Does that make sense? Do you realize one thing? We will go out so winning. Thank God that we have people going out. The only time we'll go out, even when there's no one else, is because we love these people. That God, we got to love them despite the fact that they don't respond. It's okay, God, but because you love them and I have your love, God, I need to share it with them. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God matured, perfected. Because when we love the lost, we will not get anything in return. But we must still love, and we must decide to love. Christian, how's your love? Is it brotherly? Or you sometimes give tit for tat. Sometimes you do one to me, I do. The Bible says, do to others what you want others to do to you, right? Our motto is, do one to others before others do one to me. You know what? We need to love one another because Jesus Christ commanded us to do that. Do you know why love is a command? Because humanly speaking, we will not do it and we will not be able to do it. Only with God's Spirit, with obedience to God, will we be able to do it. Youth, can I challenge you? They say, from now on, I will not come to church thinking of myself. I want to say, is there a brother in church needs help or a youth needs help? I want to be an encouragement to that person. When you grow and be obedient to that, soul winning is a natural next step. Because you say, look, I'm loving these people, but God, there's people out there that needs to be loved too. Christians, how's our love for our brother? Because it will affect your love for the lost. Because you cannot even love someone who is a Christian and who can respond to you. How are we going to go outside to tell someone who probably look you in the face and say, you are nuts? Why are you telling me about Christ? I'm not a Christian. The Christian who have learned this, follow in the footsteps of Christ. Because Jesus says, John chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As my Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ, do you realize when Jesus loved, He didn't expect to be loved back. There was no expectation. But He gave it because it was in His nature to love. Christians, that is the goal of the Christian life. When if we want to truly become like the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be willing to look at someone who hurts us and say, I'll still forgive you, I still love you because Jesus Christ loved me. That I will love because I love. It won't be sustained by anything but the Spirit of God and God helping me within my heart as I obey Him. The Bible says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And if God forgave us in this way, then we ought to forgive our brethren too. That's what Paul is trying to teach the Ephesian church. You realize that Jesus' love was voluntary. John 10:18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay down of myself. I have the power to lay down. In other words, Jesus said, I have the power to voluntarily die for you, and I have the power to take it up again. But notice why Jesus did that. This commandment have I received of my Father. You see, I love my Father. My Father tells me, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I want you to lay down your life for these people. Jesus Christ in love says, yes, Father, I'll do it because I love these people. And Jesus says, I have this commandment. And not only that, I love these people. If you don't remember anything, just remember this. We need to love each other with a brotherly love. And you know what? It's very important to maintain that through encouragement. Because without the brotherly love, it might just be hard. Or maybe just be the reason why many of us are not soul winning. Or we just do it along the way. Jesus didn't do it along the way. It was His life mission. To seek and to save that which was lost. Love is a decision. Love, genuine love from heaven is not because someone does something nice to me. It's a decision. That's God's love. Number three. God not only loved despite being loved. God's love not only decides to love. But the third day, I think you know, God demonstrated His love. Herein is love. Not that He loved us. Not that we love Him. But that He loved us and gave His Son to be a propitiation for our sin. The Bible says in John 3:16, the Bible says, God so loved the world. Do you realize there's only... How can someone be willing to come out here and describe God's love? Maybe when you go home afterwards for your lunch, just sit around as you talk. Rather than talk about TV and economic recession next year and all that kind of thing, when you gather for your lunch afterwards, I give you a topic for discussion. Explain God's love. Try it. There was one particular preacher one time. He had this congregation. And what he did was, He came into the pulpit, and no, let me just put this illustration at the back. Let me explain this first, okay? There'll be more. All right. The Bible says this: a propitiation. God's holiness demands a payment for sin. Right? We all know that we're all sinners. God created us holy and perfect, but we broke God's law. All right. As a result, there's a payment for sin. The wages of sin is death. All right. The Bible is very clear: the soul that sinneth, it shall die. All right. So it's very clear there. And then we are all condemned to hell because of our sin. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. John chapter 3 and verse 18. God was angry at sin and had to deal with us. You realize that because of our sin, not one of us can be in heaven. But notice the word propitiation. Propitiation is a big word. What does it mean? It simply means payment made to satisfy a debt. Payment made to satisfy a debt. We have a sin. In the newer Pentecostal charismatic teaching today, they believe that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He went down to hell to pay the debt to Satan to save us. That is not true. We don't owe the devil. God doesn't owe the devil anything. Amen? Okay? And the fact that the devil is still running around because God is having so-called mercy on him. His time is not yet. You know what? You know who we owe the debt to? We owe the debt to God. Because we broke His commandment, we broke His law, we have disgraced His name, we have fallen short of His glory. And so when Jesus Christ came, you know what He did? Let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Some people say, well, you mean you Christians, you just accept Jesus Christ and you can go to heaven? Wow, so early, so easy, you don't have to do anything. Notice in Romans chapter 3, and verse 24 and 25. Sorry, 25. Whom God set forth, I read 24 first, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, the focus is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom, Jesus Christ, God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. So God put Jesus Christ up to pay the price for our sin, to declare His righteousness for the forgiveness that are sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. Now this is quite a mouthful of a verse. What does it mean? When Jesus Christ died at the cross, in the Old Testament law, every year the priest will kill a lamb, take the blood and sprinkle it for the remission of sins. Right? In the book of Hebrews, it is taught clearly that when the blood is sprinkled from year to year, it covers the sin of Israel only for that year. Every year, they've got to do it again. But when they did that, it was just a covering for sin. The sin has not been paid for. So some people think that God was being, well, God, He didn't deal with sin. You know what? Until the time at the cross. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, you notice the word in verse 25. Jesus, God, was killing Jesus to declare His righteousness. Every year when the Jewish people were sacrificing the lamb, the sins were actually growing and growing and growing. And when Jesus Christ died at the cross, the Lord declared His righteousness that say, the sin here has to be punished. I know I kind of closed one eye here, but I didn't close my eye on my Son. My Son was the infinite God who paid the price from the time that Adam sinned all the way to the last person. To the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. God was tolerant of the sin. But at the cross, God let go. All right, God kind of just released His entire wrath on His Son. Did you know that? Did you know that from the sin of Adam and everyone that was murdered and killed and have raped and have robbed and have stolen before Christ, every sin was put on Christ. But not only that, notice the next verse. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be a just and the justifier of him which believeth. In other words, I have dealt with the sin from Adam to the cross. And God says, I've dealt the sin from the cross all the way to the last person that ever lived. Every evil thought, every thing that is wrong that we have done, the Lord Jesus Christ was punished at the cross. The Bible says here, propitiation is a payment made to satisfy a debt. If we don't pay that sin debt, you and I will burn in hell forever. I want you to just think about it. Burning in hell forever. Can you imagine?
forever, no rest. We don't even understand forever. But can you imagine being tormented?
There were men with four sons. They were starving.
Here, in the Bible, we know that the Bible says God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. You know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that was the biggest demonstration of the world, of what love is. If you read through the entire Bible, the only explanation and demonstration of God's love, you know what that is? The cross. You read through every passage of Scripture, the only thing that God demonstrates His love again and again and again, I send my Son to die. I send my Son to sacrifice Him. He was my only begotten Son. He was His most intimate relationship. And can I say this? God sent His best sacrifice. He gave His best. For God so loved, do you realize the beauty of God's love is only expressed in this word, S-O. For God so loved the world. The love of God is only expressed by this thing called so love. Even the author in his mind, how am I supposed to explain God's love? But you know what? Love, listen, can only be demonstrated. It cannot be spoken of. Because love, genuine love, comes from the heart. There were four sons. Would you give your son to die? There were four sons, and there was this starving man and his wife. They had four sons, and they were starving to death. They were very poor. And they had one choice. Sell one of their sons to buy food, otherwise all would die. So they look at the eldest one, and the father said, "He's my firstborn. How can I sell him away?" "No, I won't do that." He looked at the second one. The second one, "This son looks so much like me. Cannot give." And then the third one, and said, "This son looks so much. He's so strange because he's the only one that looks so much like the mother and the father. So cannot sell." And Benjamin is our youngest, our darling. Cannot sell. So in the end, they decided conclusively that they would rather starve to death than voluntarily sell one. Can I say this? God gave His only Son. God gave His only Son. He demonstrated His love. There was this preacher, now I can use the illustration, this preacher, he was going to preach on the love. He came to the congregation and said, "I'm going to preach the love of God." And what he did, there was a cross there, and all he did was put a candle to the cross, to light up the cross, and he walked out. Because the only explanation of God's love can only be seen at the cross. And many of us today, we don't even think of the cross in our daily lives. Maybe that's why we get easily angry with people. Because we forget that Jesus Christ demonstrated His love for us. Maybe we forgot that we were deserving of hell, but Jesus Christ died to save us. For God so loved the world. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8 as I close this. Romans chapter 8 verse 31, the Bible says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, so how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Christians, don't you ever make the sinful mistake of accusing God of not loving you. Don't you ever do that, because He has never stopped loving you. Amen. He will never stop loving you, because if you are truly His child, He has already given up His Son. And Paul says, what else will He withhold from you? He gave His best. He gave everything. And then in verse 37 of Romans chapter 8, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors to Him that loved us." If God loved me so much, I can do everything. I remember the time when I was being sued because of some of you will know that I use that again and again, because I remember one thing. As I was being sued, not that I do wrong or criminal conduct, not that I did something wrong. I wrote an article against someone else. because of the sin that the person is doing. Yeah, this pastor became a pop star and I was writing against that. I think some of you may know that. But you know, there were a lot of, you should do this, you should do that, just write to this church and say sorry and all that. And I was just being newly ordained as an evangelist, and I believe that was a trial of my faith. At that time, I was ordained on March, I did it in May. And at that time, it was a trial of my faith. And God said, do you believe what you wrote? I said, yes, Lord. Then what's your problem? But you know, there's still fear. You know what made me just go through the whole thing? When my wife said, Johnny, even if you sell the house, we will stand for God. After that, with the dearest one on the earth with you, my wife is with me, we can sleep on the street, that's okay. But we stand for God. If God be for us, Christian, what can be against us? Why can't we trust God when He's given us His best? Why is it that as Christians, we don't even pray and ask God, who has given us all things? You know how much He loves us? I'm persuaded. We are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. And Paul says, I'm persuaded, I'm fully convinced. Nothing can change my mind, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything, only any other creature shall be able to what? Separate us from the love of God. I'm here to tell you that God loves you so much that He gave everything, He gave His best. And as I close, let me apply that. Beloved, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's my conclusion. If you know what God's love is, John said, God gave His best. He gave His sacrifice for us. He knew that we were sinners on our way to hell. We didn't deserve anything on planet earth. The only thing we deserve as sinners is to die and go to a devil's hell. But God gave His best. He gave up everything on the cross. So that He left it all on the cross to die for us. He rose again. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Bible. He gave us families. He gave us... None of us are poor today. We have all that we need. Some of us even have more than we need. God gave us everything. And yet when the slightest things come, we cannot even trust a God who loves us. Oh, Christian thing on there. Why can't we trust Him? Why can't we obey Him with all our hearts? When God says, when He spared not His own Son. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. That's the counsel of the Apostle John. And I dare say this, many Christians don't love as Christ loved because you have never fully understood. I'm not talking about understanding that Jesus Christ died for you here. I'm talking about Jesus Christ understanding He died for you here. 1984, I was living in sin as a Christian. I was in a relationship that God didn't say it was wrong. You know what? I remember that preacher. He was preaching Calvary. And God broke me. And after the service, I went back to the campsite and I sat there and said, Lord, if you have done that for me, I surrender that relationship to you. And from then on, I was not turning back anymore. Dear friends, if nothing will break you, if the cross of Jesus Christ doesn't make you give up your sin, nothing else will. If the cross of Jesus Christ on the cross doesn't give up your disobedience, doesn't make you disobedience, nothing else will. Because God demonstrated His love there. And that's the only place God has given. Greater love has no man than this, that a man laid out his life for his friends. Jesus, I've taught this before, I teach it again. The Lord Jesus will never tell us to do something that He Himself will not personally do. Amen. When He tells us a commandment, He will always give us an example of what it should be done. And when He said that, He gave up His life on the cross for us. Beloved, if God so loved us, at Ambassador Baptist Church, visitors or not, or members, you realize you ought to sacrifice for someone else as well? Because the commandment of God said, beloved, if God so loved us, if this is the way you understand that God loved us, then you ought to love someone else too. In other words, you will stop talking bad about that person. You will pray for that person. You will support that person as much as you can. And you will love the person. If you are the quiet type, you will reach out to that person even more. Or you will say, Lord, I'm not going to be concerned about who I am anymore, but who you are in my life. And Lord, I want your love to flow through me. Christian, unless you understand the love of Christ, your love will always be on the earthly level. In order for you to rise above, you need to be willing to say, God, through your grace, your Holy Spirit, and in obedience to your word, Lord, I will love the way you love. As we close, biblical love always issues out in action. The Lord says that if that is the way I love you, then that is the way you are to love one another. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, listen to this, when you are prepared to love like this, you must be ready for your heart to be broken. When you are prepared to love the way Jesus loved, you must prepare your heart to be broken. Because it will, because of the sinfulness of man. You can love anything and your heart will be broken. If you want to make sure you want to keep yourself, then don't love anyone. Don't love anything. Think about that. You know, when I read that, I said, Lord, that's so true. Do you know how many times the Lord Jesus' heart is broken when someone is sent to hell? You know what he'll say? I died for that person. I paid the price. I paid the price. And some of us here are not Christians. Jesus paid the price. Even before you accepted him or not, he paid the price. If you don't want your heart to be broken, then don't love. Keep it wrapped up. Put it in a box. Just do your own thing. Just do your own thing. Don't reach out. Don't do anything. And you know what will happen? You will find that after a while, your heart will be unbreakable, impenetrable. Then you'll... And to you it will be hell. Why? Because God is love. And God wants to fill that heart with love. Unfortunately, I think many Christians have been hurt. I know that. I know that many people in this room have been hurt because they love. Can I say this? If that is a condition of your heart, the reason why you are hurt and cannot bounce back is because you have not access the genuine love from God. Does that make sense? And Christians, it could be that today God wants us to up our level of love by concentrating on His love. In other words, you don't look at the situations anymore. You look at God's love. Say, God, if this is how you love, even with tears in your eyes, and you say, God, if this is how you love, no matter what the person does to me, Lord, I will love that person. That is love. Jesus looked into the eyes, perhaps of the soldiers crucifying him, and said, Father, what? Forgive them. The word forgive is in a continuous tense. In other words, for the 6 hours on the cross, he was saying, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Are you willing? But Brother Johnny, you know that's not possible. Yes, it's not possible humanly, because agape is not in human language, it's in heavenly language. If you want to live God's way, if our church is to be a strong, loving church, we need to love God's way. It's not what I can get out of you, it's not what you can get out of me. It's what God can do through us, amen? That His Spirit will flow in us and say, God, I will obey you. And God, whoever who is not saved, straight away we will actually want to win that person to Christ so that he will have the love of Christ too. As we close, how is your love today? Do you love despite not being loved? Have you decided to love? Will you demonstrate your love? In John chapter 7:17, as I close, Jesus said, if he will do of his will, then will he know of the doctrine. You know what that means? If you love, then do something. If you do something, you will love. if you trust Christ. Some people don't go so willing. You will never have a love for the lost. I can guarantee you, never. Because God says so. Only the person that gets involved will understand. This person is dying and going to hell. And when you see their responses, your heart will break. That was the heart of Christ. My question for us as Christians, do we have that? Love despite being love, not being love. Love. Decide to love and demonstrate your love. And then if God loves us this way, then we need to love one another that way too. Christians, I just want to remind you, Jesus loves you no matter what happened. His love will never change. Never change. Never change. But you know what? Our Lord Jesus Christ's love is a love that He will accept us the way we are. Listen, He will not allow you to remain the way you are. Because genuine love will want us to grow. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time of this simple message. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that You first love us. We're going to be singing the song, The Love of God. And we're praying, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit will teach us more of that love. Your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. I just want to ask one question. This is God's love. Perhaps there are certain things in your life, or certain friends in your life, or certain people in your life you just cannot love. But perhaps today you say, I want to love God's way, but God help me. And Pastor, pray for me that I'll love the way God loves. You know, I cannot change your heart, but God can. In order to love God's way, you need a change of heart. Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I'm willing to submit to the Lord to love His way, but I need His help. Is there anyone like that? Just pull up your right hand. I'll pray for you. Is there anyone? I need to love. Don't be shy. It's something that we all must face. Yes, amen, I see that hand. Let's put it up and pull it down. I need to love the way. Amen, I see that hand too. I need to love God. Amen, I see that hand. Amen, that hand. I need to love the way God loves. Is there anyone else? Amen. Let's put it up and put it down and pray. Or perhaps there's someone in your heart right now, you're praying, God, help me to love this person. I love him or her, but God, the offense, or it's hard. Perhaps you just need to know and understand the love of Jesus. Is there anyone? Lord, help me to understand the love of Jesus. Amen. I see that. I need to learn. We need to understand how much God loves us. You know, if we truly understand God loves love for us, we have no problem loving someone else. Is there anyone else? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for those people who have put up their hands. We thank You, Lord, for their willingness. Thank You, Father, for their openness, Lord, in sharing. I need to ask God to help me to love the way Jesus loved. Lord, thank You for Your great love on the cross. Thank You, Father, that You have demonstrated Your love on the cross again and again and again throughout the epistles. You, through the Apostle John, Apostle Paul, and Apostle Peter, You constantly refer to the cross because that is the height, Father, the climax of Your love for us. The death of Your Son on the cross. But we thank You, Father, that love is not dead. Thank You that the love is not in the grave. The third day Jesus rose again. The love triumphed over sin, over Satan, and over the grave. Father, we thank You, Lord. As a result of that, we can love the way You love. Because You can fill our hearts with that love. Oh God, please help us to love one another. Help us to understand that love doesn't mean we condone sin. Love doesn't mean we get what we want. But love means we get what we need from a loving Father. And then love also among brethren. That we might love, learn to love the brotherly way. That we might have charity in our hearts. Oh God, thank You for what You're going to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as we sing the song, The Love.